Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.
You are listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Dell, what you know about Tyler Johnson?
He's a scrapper. He was undrafted, was a G-leaguer, worked his way into a big contract offer from the Nets that the Heat matched, and he's been overpaid ever since. But He's not a guy who's going to be able to create off the dribble. If the question John's asking is because Tyler Johnson's a guy rumored to be someone the Rockets are interested in. Smaller, two guard, doesn't have the creative ability to be a one, but it's not big to really to be a two. He's a tweener. He's a decent shooter.
Well, he's a 36% career 3-point shooter. What I'm asking is can he knock it down if Russ drives and hits him?
He's 36%. He's fine. I mean, he's not elite. He's not great. I wouldn't be putting up my three signal every time he loads up. He's not that type of knockdown guy, but he's okay. And yeah. He's never been in this type of situation before. If he's counted on the playoffs, that's not something on his resume really. So you'll find out about him as a playoff performer if he gets rotation minutes, if the Rockets sign him. He's just another guy.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's all. I mean, this is the kind of guy, but, you know, as opposed to some of the guys, at least this guy has knocked down some threes. 36% is not bad, although his worst year was last year in Phoenix where he was just 29%, which is not a great thing. His second year in Miami was his best. It was 38%, almost 39%, but that's 2015-16. And you know, he hit some in the playoffs. He's had two playoff series.
Yeah, it was the same year, and that's kind of where he got paid. He was okay. That year was the year that kind of led to him getting that big offer sheet from the Nets. The Heat are better without him. You look at now, they got rid of him last year.
That's not an endorsement.
No, I'm just, yeah, I mean, I don't think he's a rotation player on a playoff team. Not a playoff team that's got real aspirations.
Yeah,
he's an NBA player. That's fine. He's a rotation guy. He's probably better than he is on the Suns. If you put him on a good team, he'll probably respond better because he did with Miami. But it's not going to move the needle. I mean, who's he going to replace in the lineup?
Nobody.
Yeah. Nobody. No, but well, you know Mike D'Antoni. He goes deep into the bench.
Remember?
Yeah. No. So I'm pretty sure once they get to the playoffs, Tyler Johnson, let's go. Get out there, kid. Let's go. I've got a Sports Map article coming out today. It's something that's been bugging me ever since, and I tried to iterate it on the show last week. But it really pissed me. It pissed me off. And you know what? It was harmful, and it's actually, I don't want to say dangerous, but it was what Joseph Duarte wrote about the University of Houston, the lack of leadership, how leadership couldn't be trusted anymore because of the coronavirus testing, and they had to shut down the program. Well, I make the argument that it couldn't be more opposite. Did you see Clemson? Clemson has 23 positive tests.
In football, 28 in the football. Athletic department, yeah, or what they've tested so far.
LSU has 30 quarantine players. Texas has 13 positive tests now. Joseph Duarte's argument, and he was pissed off at that every other school tested when they got back.
I was told young people are the ones wearing masks, and it's the boomers who didn't.
Right.
That's what I was told on Twitter. I was like,
what?
Come on, y'all need to stop. Young people are, this is your reality check. All these positive tests. And this is just at one current break point. This doesn't get into what happened, 3 weeks ago. Like if people had been tested 3 weeks ago, a month ago, 5 weeks ago. This is how much right now there's 23 people on the Clemson football team. Right now, 30 people at LSU.
So how many are quarantined? Because you were near him, you got to stay away. But all is, and LSU has 30 quarantined players. My point being, when he was like, how can Joseph Duarte ripped into University of Houston when, in fact, they had a 35-page comprehensive plan. They didn't. They tested everybody who had any kind of symptom whatsoever, any kind of fever, any kind of sniffle, any kind of sore throat, diarrhea, all of these things. And Joseph was like, well, they didn't test when they first got back. Clemson did. Texas did. A&M has got all of these schools. LSU, they all tested all. What's the difference? These kids are kids. You know what? The first weekend back, when University of Houston got back, they had a bunch of players. First of all, they had after the fifth day, they got off for the weekend. You know where they went? Galveston, to a party. Four guys that were allegedly at the same party all together, all tested positive at this party in Galveston because Jackie. And then a couple other people tested positive. So you know what the University of Houston did? Shut it down. We got six positive tests. Shut it down. We're out of here. I don't want all these kids together. I'm not quarantining all these guys. We're not going to imprison all these players. You know what everybody else in the country is doing? That. They're okay. You know what? You're with all these guys. Guess what you got to do now? You got to quarantine. Well, University of Houston said, we're not putting up, you know what? We've got six positive tests. We're done. Clemson's got 23. Let's keep working out, guys. Let's keep it going. Well, we got to, because we got to work out, because we got to make sure that we got football. We got to make sure that we're going to be, we're certainly not going to give, when North Carolina and Miami, they're all together, we're not going to shut it down. And University of Houston actually said, no, we're not doing this. You know what? We'll all get back together after the 4th of July and see if we can't do it this time where we all don't go to a damn party and get each other sick. So let's try it again. We'll do it again. Let's try it again. But I'm not going to put all of these kids, incarcerate them, because basically that's what all these schools are doing. Did you see the Clemson interaction with Amari Rodgers, with Jarvis Juice Landry from LSU? Apparently, how's college athletes on campus, right? And Amari said, they need that money, office. And you know what? That's the absolute truth. That's the absolute truth. And I applaud University of Houston. This is why this pisses me off. Are you kidding me? University of Houston said, no, we're not going to make sure. We got six positive tests. Everybody get out of here. Go home. Stay home. Don't do anything. And then we'll try it again when we get back. While every other school is, you know what? Now we just got to incarcerate you. That's what we're going to do. So that's
incarcerate.
Well, basically, they're locking the kids up.
Nah, that's too much. Incarcerate. Well, we know what incarcerate means. That's dangerous. I think that's kind of dangerous
language.
Okay.
All right. They're making them isolate. They're keeping them in
quarantine.
Well,
we all have to if we get it, right?
Right. Right. But no, so are kids. So are kids. I don't know. I'm not sure that all 30 LSU players, but they're quarantining now because their buddy who they were with got it.
Yeah. Well, you have to be – if you want to try to play a sport, that's how it's working with basketball too, right?
Right.
Is that a problem?
Well, no. What I'm saying is it's at University of Houston did not do that. What the University of Houston said was, okay, we got six. Clemson's got 23. And they're still going, and they're still, that's all right. We'll just make sure that these kids, all right, you isolate, you quarantine, you stay in that room, don't you go anywhere for 2 weeks. But the rest of you guys, okay, we got 75 guys. We can still keep working out. Well, guess what's going to happen? More guys are going to test. And they're just going to keep on doing it because they don't want to give up that precious time that these coaches have to have, working out? Right now you can't have practices, you can't do all of that, you can't. So what are you doing?
Yeah, because didn't NCAA put into place the 6-week thing, and that doesn't happen until
July 17th, or
I think so, because the season starts. Yeah, so these coaches are asking for mandatory voluntary workouts. I'll call them, even though the rules in place that they don't need to do this because there will be a 6-week ramp up. I'm just interested in some of it because I know a lot of schools are back. Like you mentioned Miami, they're back. Now, they're a private institution. I'm not sure how that plays into reporting tests, but I haven't heard one thing about a COVID test out of that school or other schools. So the headlines are huge because LSU has a lot, Clemson, two of the preeminent powers in college football. But then in Kansas State, I think, actually shut down their workouts, much like U of H did. But other places, we're hearing nothing. Like, we hear from Texas, but we didn't hear from A&M. Is A&M are those guys working out?
Yeah, they said they're on the rise. That's all they said. They haven't reported how many.
Okay.
Just
everyone's going to have positive
tests. Yeah, I imagine they would. And all this, you hear all these slogans about, we're all in. We're going in one direction. Row the boat. If a college football season happens, this is going to be a huge test. Can you get your guys to, for however long it has to be, to do things that ensure that they stay on the field? Can you get all of them to do it? Because
you have to have a lot of discipline.
So yeah, no, I don't know how you do it otherwise. You're going to have these guys buy in and say, okay, we're going to spend a semester plus in quarantine practically so we can play college football.
Right. That's what we're doing. Listen.
I don't think it's possible.
All I'm saying is, yeah, Joseph Duarte, I mean, this that you can't that's dangerous to a program because what he said was that parents and fans can't trust these guys anymore. And you know what? You know what opposing recruiters do? They're going to use that against the University of Houston. You see what they're saying about University of Houston? And that is, it couldn't be further. It's the exact opposite is true. When they got 6 tests, the University of Houston said, no, that's it. Shut it down. And everybody else said, screw it. We're bulling forward. Let's keep going, guys. It's okay. Wait. Oh, now we got 23? Now we got 30? It's okay. Let's keep going, guys. Let's keep practicing. Let's skip. That to me is, and quite frankly, it was unfair. It was unfair to Chris because he Couture, Pezman, Dana, he took shots at all of them. You can see it. It's on Sports Map right now. The article. It just got put up, and I just retweeted it. If you're following me on Twitter and you want to read it, anyway, I was just. It just to me that's crap. It was crap.
John coming out of Sports Map retirement to spit this one.
Yeah, I did. 713-780-3776 if you want to get in here. 713-780-3776.
MMA Law.
Okay. I got to talk right now about the MMA Law Firm. Those are my guys over there. And you know what? It is hurricane season. It's here. And guess what? You just may need these guys because during the last hurricane, with all of the insurance companies, you know what insurance companies do now? Insurance companies, they just... Well, they want you to pay them the money, but then when you got a claim, they don't want to pay that. And if they're acting in bad faith, you could be entitled up to 3 times your damage amount. So if you're dealing with an insurance company right now and you're not getting anywhere, or you've been battling back and forth and they're negotiating, or they've settled or given you less than you feel like you should have gotten, well, that's what these guys are here for. LargeLossAttorneys.com. It's the MMA law firm. They are here to fight for you against the insurance companies. They'll front all expenses. If they win, their payment will come from the recovery, not out of your pocket. No settlement, no fees. You get a free consultation. These guys are working for you against big insurance companies. And you know what? It's just right. You pay those insurance premiums. You pay those on those policies, and you should get paid if you have a claim, a just claim. So find out. Maybe you think, well, maybe it's not. Well, the large loss attorneys can help you decide whether or not you got a case or not. Go to largelossattorneys.com, largelossattorneys.com.
Warning. You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
I could stay awake just to hear you breathing.
You're listening to The Bench
on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN975.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
Army?
I asked John a question off the air. Is it, you think this is the song he sings to Dana?
Well, the first thing I say in the article is I'm friends with Dana Holgorsen. Okay? Just took for, you know what? Full disclosure. But I was also. But I was also friends with some. I've been friends with all. Actually, all. I like Tony Levine. I've liked all the University of Houston coaches ever since I've been here. I took a shot at Dana Dimmel. It was unnecessary, but it was.
Yeah, why'd you throw Dana Dimmel in an article? Dana's like, hey, it's been a long time.
I like Dana, though.
He was a nice guy.
He was a nice guy. He just wasn't very good at coaching football. So
when Dell hit that bridge on you, right when you said, I'm friends with Dana, bang, and it hit the chorus, and it pow, and he hit the volume, you couldn't have done that better. You couldn't have scripted that.
Oh, stop. Slobbering all over Dell.
Some people say, hey, okay, this guy just pushes buttons. Hey, there's an art to this. That's all I'm saying.
Well, you got a little lucky that it kicked in right when he said, I'm friends with Dana.
I know John. I know John and his love for Dana runs deep. I know what I'm doing over here.
Yeah, if you were writing in like the Chronicle, they have to do that disclaimer that, you know, John Granato is friends with Dana. Goes and to a barbecue place and, you know, has some pops. Do I ever get barbecue from that place?
Where, Damaris?
No, at the other joint.
Oh, Luling's?
Yeah.
Yes.
You do?
Absolutely. Yeah. I was there yesterday. They ran out of barbecue because Father's Day was so busy.
That's good. That's good. We didn't have to go hard in the paint for a Father's Day in terms of cooking and stuff like that.
This is wrong art. You're friends with Dana? You're besties, brothers, like Earl Thomas brothers. No.
Oh, no.
No, we're not like Earl Thomas brothers. No, we're not. No, no, we're not.
Not
okay,
that kind of friend.
No. Anyway, so I don't know. Yeah, I just said, you know what? Pissing me off, so I'm going to write something. That's all. Anyway, so there's that out. And on Sports Map, if you're a University of Houston fan, you might like it. If you're not, I don't know. You might like it too. I don't know. Joseph Duarte's not going to like it, but oh well. 713-780-3776 is the number. I didn't know. Is Eskimo derogatory?
Yeah, I think so. Eskimo pie is out.
Yeah. Can't have Eskimo pies anymore. What is... Is Mississippi mudslides, are those derogatory?
No, you're still
well, maybe to Andre Smith.
Yeah, when you call someone a mudslide, it's insulting.
Well, Andre Smith, remember when he was running?
Yeah, it wasn't a great look.
It wasn't. He should have kept his shirt on. That was really, really terrible. But I didn't know that. Eskimo pies, so what are we going to call them now?
Is it just because of the image of the Eskimo, or is it the actual name Eskimo? What's the bigger offense?
What's the problem with being an Eskimo?
No, I'm just looking at the box, and there's an alleged Eskimo, although it doesn't look like any person from Alaska or a native person from Alaska that I've ever seen. That looks just like a white person.
What about being an Eskimo brother?
I wouldn't. Well, I'm sure a lot of guys in college are Eskimo brothers.
Right.
Just because you're.
Well, what are you going to call that now?
I'm sure I don't think that's going away.
Sleeping with the same girl, brother?
So it's not that offensive.
Well, who's canceling Eskimo pies?
Oh, no, I saw it. John, that's probably why you brought it up, right?
Yeah, they're dropping Eskimo.
Yeah, dryers.
Eskimo pies.
Dryers to
they're
drop
just calling
derogatory.
It pie, and that's going to be a hard marketing move.
Dryers to drop
this
derogatory.
Ain't no pie.
Eskimo pie. After 99 years.
What's derogatory? Pie?
No, I think it's the Eskimo thing.
Oh. Why? Well, I didn't know that was offensive to Eskimos.
Okay. Paula Deen's Eskimo pies.
Now we do.
Is that now? Is there a problem?
Yeah, maybe.
Now there's. Well, if it's Paula Deen's, it's offensive.
Well,
it's too much sugar already in a pecan pie, though.
She's trying to kill you. That's what I'd be offended by.
Or the words she uses.
Well, yeah, she did that too. Many indigenous people consider Eskimo a derogatory term because non-native colonizers use it to mean eater of raw meat, connoting barbarism. So that's the origin of Eskimo, apparently.
Wow. That's it? Because you ate raw meat?
Well, they were called... Well,
so are lions offended?
No, they're not. No.
Well.
No, but...
Okay, they eat raw meat.
Well, it's the whole colonizer thing. I'm sure they weren't nice in other regards as well. So getting that name dropped on you by a colonizer probably isn't something you want lasting.
No, I guess. I don't know.
Like if someone came in to oppress you and then they gave you a name, you'd be like, hey, can this name not stand anymore? We don't like it. I'm sure that's part of the reason.
I don't know. I used a derogatory. I guess it's true. My dad was a Goomba. What are you going to do?
Would you call your dad that if he said, hey, that offends me?
Is that considered a bad term?
No, I don't think so. I don't know.
I don't think so either. No, because I never heard of anyone having a Goomba pie.
No, but Goombati. He is like that's my boy.
I always thought it was a Goomba. Is that a good term or
Goomba?
Bad?
It's Goomba.
What does that mean? No.
Yeah, it's short for, I think, Goombati, which is you're my good friend.
Oh.
Yeah.
Well, good friend He's pie, yeah, that's the Earl Thomas pie.
Right. But then I think, some words, they take a different form. Being a Goomba is like, a Dago or a Wop or a.
Yeah, now those I thought you're not supposed to say.
He's been doing this for years, though.
Yeah.
Because he's one of them. He goes, I'm one of them, so I can say it.
Yeah, I can say it. I've been called that my whole life. I was a mini guinea. That's what I was called.
Okay? See,
I don't.
That's another one I'm not messing with.
Neither am I.
That's what I was, my dad.
Chicago went hard in the paint. All of them.
Well, the bar that my dad owned was mostly Irish that came in.
Oh.
Car workers and all these guys. And trust me, they went hard.
Yeah, keep it there. Don't start firing the Italian words at them.
No, they fired all the Italian words. They fired at me all the time.
The Irish did?
Yeah, the Irish did. Because all you could ever say about them was
Dead Rabbits?
A Mick. That's all you could ever call
them. Yeah, there's nothing else. Were you in the Dead Rabbits, or who was your, at the Five Points, who was your clan?
We didn't have a clan at
was
the Five Points.
Was it Irish
That's
and
New
the
York.
Italians, and who else? Did you have the local boys or whatever Bill the Butcher's team was?
Yeah, no, we didn't have a team in Five Points.
Did y'all meet at the Five Points?
No. No, we didn't meet at the Five Points. It's New York. We were in Chicago. Right. We were in Chicago, okay?
I'm going to say this. It's time we got law in this city. And I'm here to give it to you. Vote for me, Irish Johnny J. Like, no, and then all of a sudden you guys are throwing a hatchet in his back, and there's a big fight, and you got rabbits on sticks. I know how it happens. I've seen it on TV.
No, we might have had the dead pizzas or something, but we didn't have, we were the cool calzones or something. We weren't the dead rabbits. None of that. That's all.
And I thought so. Brian chimes in. Brian Zygo. That caricature used on the pie packaging is BS, too. So I felt like the that character in the I don't know what that garb is called. What I don't know what it's called. Like when you're cold up in Alaska and you see Inuit people in those things.
Yeah,
I don't know what it's called. But I always thought that probably was a problem too. And Brian said, yeah, it's an issue. What are they going to call it now? Just
I don't know.
Chocolate pie. I don't know what you call it now.
I think you just shut it down.
No, I think they're still going to sell.
No,
it.
You got to.
What
have,
are you going to?
You're going to still sell them. I don't know. Are they delicious? I don't know.
I've never had an Eskimo pie.
I haven't either. I'm surprised they're still in business.
I'm not
a big Eskimo pie guy either, but they must sell since they continue to make them ever since for centuries.
Yeah, it's about 100 years now.
Is there going to be an underground market? Are there people hoarding Aunt Jemima and Eskimo pie and all this so that they can like put it on as a, sell it later as a...
You mean racist eBay?
Well, I don't know if it's. Yeah, I mean, somebody's like, I know somebody's going to want to buy this, and I'm going to hoard the supply So when the demand gets high, somebody who wants to have some kind of little culture, like, look what I got. I got one of the last Aunt Jemima syrups, one of the last pancake mixes. How much did it cost? $170. It was a lot. I got one of the last ones. Like, wow, somebody's out there just making money off the last of the Eskimo pies.
How can God forbid your electricity goes off. There goes your Eskimo pie. That's over.
I mean, I'm assuming the syrup's going to taste the same. They're not changing a recipe up.
No. I think I'm just waiting for the name change.
Aunt Jill's.
You think Jill? Or maybe they call it Nancy. Wasn't the woman's original name Nancy or something?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Probably that.
Maybe they just call her Aunt Nancy or whatever they want to
probably
do.
That.
Nancy Brown, was it?
I thought
it was Green, something like that.
Nancy Green.
Yeah, just call it Aunt.
I knew it was a color.
Keep the picture. Call it Aunt Nancy. It'll be fine, I think. Keep
which picture, Dell?
The one that John considered more sexy.
Well, the one now looks like, her hair looks like, she looks like the lady who was in, I got to remember her name. It looks like they took the actress from Good Times, the Jeffersons with the maid that George hated and that George. That's a picture they're using. I'm like, who's this random woman? This looks just like that actress. But they're not keeping her picture. So whose picture are they keeping?
I don't know, but I just found out. We talked about it last week about that name and the meaning something, maybe. The family of the woman who they modeled it originally after is like, we'd like you not to change the name.
Right.
Because the iconic Aunt Jemima has longstanding ties to the city of Hawkins and a goodwill ambassador named Lillian Richard. But what that family's like, we'd ask you not to.
They're a black family.
I believe so. Yeah. It's because it's based off the original. However they found that original image, that family, the descendants, are like, we'd like you to keep the branding.
Yes. And there'll probably be a lawsuit. Probably.
Well, it looks like the company's in a no-win spot.
Here's a quote from, I guess, one of their spokesmen, somebody from the family. A lot of people want it removed. We want the world to know that our cousin Lillian was one of the Aunt Jemima's and she made an honest living. We would ask that you reconsider just wiping all that away. There wasn't a lot of job, especially for black women in that time. She was discovered by Quaker Oats to be their brand person.
I'm sorry. You're going to lose that one.
Yeah, I think that one's going away.
Yeah. 830 ESPN 97.5, 713-780-3776. You're going to lose if you don't have testosterone.
Well, you do lose. You lose a lot in terms of your quality of life. Men's T Clinic is here to help you get back to living your best life. I know that's a term a lot of people use, but living your best life could mean just doing the same things, feeling the same way you did when you were in your 20s and your 30s. Men's T Clinic can help you get there. And the way that they do that is they test your testosterone level. If it is below the normal level, there's a certain number that if it crosses that threshold, they will treat you and they will custom tailor a treatment that is right for you and for your body so that you have the levels that you're supposed to. They check you beforehand. They check all your different levels, your PSAs. They're all about safety, but they're also about results. So if you've been with another company and you didn't see results, Men's T Clinic does the cleanup work for a lot of those businesses because they understand exactly how it should be administered, what the numbers should look like, and they monitor you and keep up with that. And so your results are leaner muscle mass, better workouts, better energy, better libido. These are real scientific facts. This is something I can attest to. It absolutely happens. Go to mensteeclinic.com. Check it out for yourself. Find one of the five locations nearest you, Pasadena, Pearland, Cypress, Spring, and the Heights. It's mensteeclinic.com.
ESPN. 97.5. You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5. Not sure I agree with this list. List five guys who are running out of time to prove themselves in the NFL. Number five is John Ross, the wide receiver from the Cincinnati Bengals. Ross, he's in the final year of his rookie deal. He had career highs across the board last year. But we'll see with Joe Burrow whether or not they can actually get him the football this year, right? And I think that he's probably in a better situation than he's been. They are going to probably fling it around a little bit. Hopefully, the other side, A.J. Green, will be healthy, and he'll be – you know, it's hard when you're – he's a smaller guy. He's going to be keyed on, and there's nobody on the other side, really. I think John Ross could possibly have himself a good year.
The problem with that career high stuff is only because he missed almost the entire rookie season. Now, he played 13 games in the second year, but only caught the ball 21 times, and his career high was 28 catches for 3 TDs. So, more production, certainly. For whatever reason, in 2018, of his 21 catches, 7 were touchdowns.
Wow.
So, a career high in receptions, but not in I don't know how that happened. 1 out of every 3 catches is a touchdown. But, 28 catches, 49 catches overall in his career. So, anything... pretty much breathing for John Ross this year should be a step up as long as Joe Burrow's okay.
You got Josh Rosen here. I disagree with this, too. Josh Rosen can play for years and years and years as a backup. He's talented enough where you know, he was a high pick. You know that the kid can throw it. You know that he'll just sit there and shut up. There's not going to be any controversy that we got to have Josh Rosen on the field. There's a bunch of Josh Rosens that have been – that have made millions and millions and millions of dollars holding the clipboard. And Josh Rosen probably will.
Yeah, I think Josh Rosen's time is not over yet, but it's one of those things where I think that it's the same issue that I had when he was coming out. I think it's less about the talent. I really seriously question. Now, he didn't, you know, it didn't materialize in Arizona, and it's not the easiest thing in the world to beat out Ryan Fitzpatrick. I mean, all due respect to Ryan Fitzpatrick, because he is one of the best bridge quarterbacks in the history of football. He is just, and that means what it means. He's not a plus quarterback, but he has moments where he plays plus football, unlike really anyone we've seen. He messes up your ideas of playing younger quarterbacks. That's why I'm not 100% certain that Tua gets in as quickly as everyone thinks, because I think Fitzpatrick's going to be playing probably pretty good football. But eventually he falls off the wagon at some point from a good football standpoint.
I think it depends more on what you're playing for. I don't think his play is going to keep Tua off the field. I think it's going to be, okay, let's bring Tua along slowly.
I think he allows you to bring Tua along slowly.
Yeah.
They've had other plans like that for the Houston Texans with Deshaun Watson. You didn't have the right quarterback. Like, Deshaun wouldn't have played right away if Ryan Fitzpatrick was with the Texans. I tell you, because Ryan Fitzpatrick makes it a little tougher to get in. So I bring that up because I don't want to make it about Fitzpatrick, but Josh Rosen, couldn't get in over there.
Well, this article says Rosen has to shake off the bad hand he's dealt with, put it together quickly. He's got no shot. There is zero chance that Josh Rosen plays. Zero.
What, in Miami?
Yeah.
Well, I think they must be assuming he's going somewhere else, because there's really no reason to even keep. You might as well try to flip him for a fifth now.
Well, a backup quarterback for a fifth? I don't know. He's probably just a guy that's cut and picked up somewhere.
Well, but you hope that somebody's willing to give him a fifth. He's a quarterback. There's going to be some value for him still. He's still a quarterback. He's still on his rookie deal. There's going to be a team that liked him when he was coming out. John Ross, I don't think it's going to happen for John Ross. He's a fast guy who has had knee issues. I don't think it's happening for him. I don't think it's happening for most of these guys on this list.
DeAndre Baker, cornerback for the Giants.
Well, I mean,
he's a first-round pick last year.
First-round pick. Is he still in custody?
No, they dropped the charges, I think. That's what I thought.
His charges dropped.
Yeah.
I thought the other guy was going to get his charges dropped.
Oh, no. Even if Baker is proven to be innocent and has his charges dropped.
Okay.
Yeah. No.
Yeah, I don't think.
That's going to hurt your career, I think, a little bit. You know, what with armed robbery. O.J. Howard, tight end Tampa.
No, I could see that happening, although the thought is O.J. Howard was going to be traded at some point once they brought in Gronk, but that hasn't happened up to this point. That one's weird. That one, this one makes me feel like O.J. Howard is just a flash player because we saw him flash in a title game at Alabama, right? And he had all this ability. He's got five-star athletic ability, size, and all that. And then we saw him flash for a little bit in the pros. But I was shocked that he wasn't a major, major factor with Jameis Winston and Bruce Arians' offense. I was shocked.
Yeah.
I'm not sure he's a big worker from what I understand from people over at Tampa. So, I don't know.
It's the same with Njoku, isn't it?
I don't know. Njoku's also had some injuries, too. And he was raw coming out. O.J. Howard should have been a dude right off the bat. Yeah. And the fact he still isn't is concerning.
With Brady's whoopee there, it's going to be difficult for him to get much of anything unless they go to a lot of two tights. And then David Johnson, running back for the Texans.
Oh.
I disagree with this wholeheartedly. Bill's probably going to give him another $15 million contract. I would imagine. After this $13 million, they pay him this $13 million, which they probably could have got him for three if he had been cut. But, you know, Bill O'Brien's probably going to give him 15. Or what's the highest paid running back right now?
$13 million? Who is the highest paid running back? Is it still Gurley?
Is it Gurley? No.
No, because he has a new deal.
Is it Le'Veon?
Christian McCaffrey. $16 million.
16? Well, then Bill's probably going to give David Johnson 18 or 20.
I don't feel like that's going to happen.
I mean, it shouldn't be on the board, but I'm not saying there's a 0% chance.
Yeah, I'm going to put it at zero.
He hasn't had the money to pay him $18 million. He's still got Deshaun to pay.
He's got Deshaun to pay. And that's
did he have the money to pay Laramie Tunsil $22
million? Yes. He did.
Which is $4 million more than
anybody else has. It's a good contract, but he did. Yeah, he did. Zeke Elliott is two. Le'Veon, Christian McCaffrey, one. Zeke Elliott, two at 15. Le'Veon Bell, three. David Johnson, four at 13. Derrick Henry. I know. Derrick Henry,
David
five.
David Johnson, four.
Yep.
A guy. Oh.
Derrick. Hey. Oh, it gets worse. Derrick Henry, five. Kenyon Drake, six at Arizona. Why is Arizona is giving out free money to running backs? What are they doing?
Wow.
Melvin Gordon, Kine? Saquon, Leonard Fournette, Austin Eckler, Todd Gurley, Duke Johnson. And then Giovanni Bernard.
Wait a minute. Duke Johnson is in the top 10?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12. He's 12th. But this
so
is,
they have two
he's
guys.
At five, he went all the way up to $5.2 million.
So the Texans now are paying two of the top 12 running
backs?
Well,
that's his APY. I don't know if that's his actual contract this year. That was his average per year. So I think he's in the fours this year, actually, on his deal. But that's the APY, which is average per year. But you know what's crazy? This is what's crazy. You got these guys 16, 15, 13, 13, 10. Then you go down Mark Ingram, 5. Latavius Murray, 3.6. Matt Breida, 3.2. Kareem Hunt, 3.2. Josh Jacobs is on a rookie deal. Raheem Mostert, 2.9. Carlos Hyde, 2.
Yeah, Carlos Hyde signed for 2.
Carlos Hyde went for 2.7.
And you're giving 13 to David Johnson. Yeah.
He signed a 1 year $2.7 million deal, and David Johnson is out here making like nine this year.
By the time it's said and done, the Texans will, because by the time it's said and done, I think that it's over 12.
He made it very known to everybody what the amount was in the meeting.
It was what, nine?
Yeah, I think it's nine. It's not double figures.
Because I'm looking at his base
salary. No, because he gets another roster bonus in March.
But his base salary is 10.2, according to SpotTrack. Then he gets a roster bonus of almost another million,
No, I got base. Oh, yeah, 10-2. That's right. It's 12-3. It's over 11, and then they have to give him another.
Then I don't know if this contract is accurate that we're seeing on here or if we got all the facts, because I think the number, if I remember correctly, is a lot lower what the Texans thought it was. I might be wrong, but I feel like they thought it was lower
than this. His base salary this year is 10-2.
I mean, plus I know next year's deal will not be earned.
What are the chances the Texans just gave you numbers in a meeting that made them feel better?
I think it's unlikely that they would do that about that.
Where does SpotTrack get its numbers?
Did they get that from the league office?
No, SpotTrack wouldn't work directly with the league office. So here's how agents told me to get it. If you have, they can research contracts. It's whatever is released usually, but they can also look up contracts. My guess is somebody at SpotTrack has somebody who is an agent who has the ability to. There's a username and password. You can get in and study all the contracts. My guess is they did that. I might be wrong. Maybe the Texans were bragging because they don't have to pay the second year of it. You know, I guess maybe that was their flex. Like, we don't even have to pay the second year.
Well, apparently, though, there is some kind of a bonus that they're going to have to pay even if they cut them next year. So it's over 11 right now. And it's closer to 13 what they're going to have to pay him in 1 year.
Either way, it's a
punch in the gut or it's a jab, right, Lance? A jab to the face.
It could be a jab to the face, and it depends. Look, totally unrelated. SiteJab is a company here locally that has been doing this for a long, long time. When I say long, long time, been doing it 20 years. I mean. That's a good deal of time of building websites for people here in the city of Houston. But it's really changed over the last 20 years. I've had websites built two different times, and one was right around when SiteJab got started, and one was afterwards. But even my man David, who built mine now, he was telling me after a couple of years, he's like, man, the technology is just unbelievable how fast this is moving. And that was in like 2000 and... Oh my gosh, when did David do that? About 2013, he told me that. You can only imagine what it looks like now. With SiteJab, they will make sure that you have the most updated technology, the most updated widgets on your site. But here's what you really need to know. SiteJab can meet you in person or via Zoom. They're here locally, so you're supporting a local business. But the best thing is they can also create a website that helps you monetize leads, helps you convert leads. And that's what's essential in the business world. 80% of the people who are going to do business with you are going to look at your website before they do anything else. So make sure that your website represents you, that it's up to date, that it's current, and it's got the look and the design that is going to draw people in. And then from there, help you convert to real dollars. If you're a small or medium-sized business, this is essential. Call today, 713-999-4661, or go to SiteJab.com, SiteJab.com, providing over $500 in Google Ads to every new website in the month of July, SiteJab.com.
ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to The Bench on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's John Granato and Lance Zierlein.
All right. If you're a University of Houston fan, you probably want to check out, even if you're not, you want to check out the article that I wrote for Sports Map this weekend. It's out on Sports Map, or if you're following me on Twitter, I retweeted it. You can find it there, whatever. 713-780-3776 is the number if you would like to get in here. 713-780-3776. Baseball looks like it's going to take it delayed a vote yesterday. They wanted to take more time to decide whether or not they were going to be greedy and try to get more money. But they decided that they're going to wait, and now they'll probably vote today, but I really don't care. So that's going to happen. It looks like it's just going to be a season of NL West versus AL West, AL West versus itself, and NL West, West versus AL West, and the same for every division. You're going to play Central, play Central, and East will play East, and they're going to limit it to – that'll limit the travel. I don't know. Once you get on planes, once you get in hotels, once you – I mean, unless – listen, even golf got theirs. Nick Watney, he tested before he got – apparently when he got there, and then 2 days later he tested again because he was feeling sick, and he tested negative, and then he tested positive 2 days later. And golf is one of the easiest and, I mean, one of the best sports. I've always thought, and I've said it several times, golf should lead the way on this because there's no interaction. You're not sweating on each other. You're not, there's no close contact, no physical contact with anybody else. You know, you and your caddy can stay, even you can even distance yourself from your caddy as much as possible. So golf should be leading the way as far as sports goes. And even they had a positive test.
Was he one of the ones who wasn't part of the first tournament? He flew in. I know because weren't the guys who participated in the previous tournament last week, didn't they fly in on these chartered flights or whatever?
He did participate. Apparently he was in, I think he was in the first one, but he didn't make the cut. So over the weekend, whatever he did, I guess, but then he tested negative. See, you have to take a test again, I guess, to get on the plane. They're testing multiple times on the golf. And then 2 days later, after he tested negative, he tested positive. So, I mean, it's like, what are you going to do? What are you going to do? It's going to be everywhere. It's going to be everywhere. So, it was a hell of a tournament this weekend, boys. I know you guys were glued to it. Mm-hmm. Webb Simpson coming up strong. By the way, David Johnson's contract, just to clear things up. If he's on the roster on the third day of the 2020 league year, $2.1 million of his 2021 salary will become fully guaranteed. So that's where the extra $2 million comes in. He's making over $11 this year, and they have to, if he's on the, and he better be on the roster the third day of the league season, he automatically gets $2.1 for next year. So that's where the Texans, while they're only paying him $11 this year, they have to pay him $13 before it's all, even if he doesn't play a down in 2021. He's got to get another $2 million.
That makes everyone feel better.
Well, it does. Paying $13 million for a guy who hasn't been good since 2016. Awesome.
Can you analyze this quote from one of your people? Unfortunately, it had to happen to him, Garcia said. There's a lot of other people that probably deserved it a lot more than him, and he's the one that got it. Who's Sergio Garcia talking about? Who does he think deserved COVID more than Nick Watney?
He don't know what Nick Watney's doing with their mouth, though.
Apparently, they both were together or something, and they got tested around, I don't know, throughout the article. But at the end, it goes, other people deserve it more.
Other people deserve the Roni?
He says there's
more?
A lot of other people that probably deserved it a lot more than him, and he's the one that got it.
Like, he probably doesn't go out there and take a bunch of chances. He's probably, it's more of a comment about him. About Watney being a good dude or whatever case may be.
Can we go through, guys, let's go through the list here. Who deserves a Roni at this station more than others? Like, John has it, or doesn't have it, excuse me.
Do I deserve it? Who deserves it the most?
Yeah, Lance, who do you think deserves the Roni the most here?
Huh.
I mean, John feels like the obvious choice.
No.
And he's the favorite.
Why?
He lives in it.
Well, but that doesn't mean he deserves it just because
he's a fan, like a Geisha fan where he's fanning himself.
To keep the droplets away from him?
Oh, did you see the article? Chris Sol sent me an article. If you're in a public restroom and you flush, supposedly when you flush, it shoots the droplets up in the air.
You didn't know that?
Yeah.
I didn't know that, no.
Yeah. Yeah, flush in a toilet, it shoots it up in the air, and there's a chance that you get the Roni from the toilet.
Or just pee particles. Just because normally those public toilets, flushing power is probably stronger than generally your home toilet.
Yeah.
Just because they have a lot of stuff to deal with. Yeah. Don't go to public restrooms unless you have to.
Has it been a rough or mild or medium in terms of corona
Lance
in your house?
Lance just went to the public bathroom. God, he might have the Roni right now.
Is it mild, medium, or tough, like what you're dealing with, which what the people in your house are dealing with right now?
Oh, it's mild.
Very mild?
Very mild.
Was Frankie's worse than Wendy's?
About the same. They both had like a sinus issue. That's it.
No fever?
No fever. Okay. Neither of them.
Wow.
No fever, no coughing.
And then they have to get tested again?
Yeah.
When do they test them again?
Well, Frankie's going to wait probably sometime this week, but it's been a month, so she should be good.
Yeah, you don't want to go too early.
No.
And the MF say, nope, got to get it again in a week. Like,
yeah, but they said there might be, even though she's not contagious anymore, that there might be still some remnants in
yeah.
it. So she may test positive again. So
is the 45-minute test, is that just not considered, is the same day not considered good? Is it not considered accurate?
That's what my doctor said. My doctor said his lab will not do them because they're too inaccurate.
Really?
Yeah.
And did they get they
got
way into your brain, right?
And it was funny. It was funny. I go, because Tuesday I said, hey, doc, you got our results? It was like noon. He goes, well, so far you're both negative. And I said, what do you mean so far? Either you tested, either you got it, or you don't. And he's like, no. He said, and then like at 8, 9 o'clock at night, he goes, all right, it's all back. You're completely negative.
What did so far mean?
That's what I said.
And what he said.
And I was telling people, oh, I'm not going to that doctor. What do you mean so far? So far. I mean, I guess they have to test all kinds of different. I don't know.
Sound like Sebastian Maniscalco.
I'm not a doctor anymore.
I'm not going to that doctor. What do you mean so far?
Yeah.
What is
so far? You're negative. That's what he said to both of us. And I was like, what does that mean?
Man.
Either you're negative or you're positive.
Maybe it's like a 3D printer. It takes a long time.
Well, while you guys are talking, I think I just found out who deserves the Roni more than anyone.
Who?
Just read your text message.
Oh, I figured it was him.
Just read your text message that you just got.
Every heel.
Well, I wasn't going to give out his name.
Snitchy McSnitcher.
He's such a snitch. Look at this. Read that.
Yeah.
Oh.
He's a parent. And he said, that man has raised a child.
That man was celebrated on Father's Day.
Well, celebrated by his daughter pulling him through the street.
Yeah.
On a skateboard or something.
Skateboard.
Yeah.
He made a child pull him.
Yeah. Is that what he did?
Yeah. I didn't see it. I think he put on his Instagram, he goes, Father's Day. Something like an excuse to have your daughter pull you through the street on a skateboard. It's a video of her pulling him through the street.
I like the fact that he's being real about it, at least.
Yeah, this is a man. This man deserves a Roni more than anyone.
Uh-huh.
After this text message.
I didn't know that about
That's not what it's called, by the way. He's just using that to get his jokes off.
By the way, one of my kids, you know, I got the homemade letters. I mean, the homemade cards. And one of my homemade cards said, thank you for everything you do. And also, thank you for calming mom down when she's mad. I can tell you, what started off as a nice, sweet card to me for Father's Day turned into my wife having some issues with this child.
You ain't doing it. So you had to calm her down because she wasn't calm about the needing to be calmed down.
I'm like,
down.
This is to me. This is about me, my day. And then she brought back to Mother's Day. Like, I didn't get Mother's Day. Hey, that's your business.
Did one of your kids have a galaxy brain? Like, look, I'm just going to prove my point right here. I'm going to write this card. Mom's going to get pissed.
You want
to
know what?
Dad's going to have to calm her down.
Okay, so I got
to
figure this one out, too. Because the last sentence was, it was about calming mom down. And then he goes, thank you for being a good mom. Happy Father's Day. And I'm like, see, that's gangster. Because that's some Hannibal Lecter stuff. He goes, thank you for being a good mom. He's already lit the fuse on calming mom down. And then he says, being a good mom. And then he can go, oh, it's plausible deniability. Oh, man, I meant to write dad.
Yeah.
So he's got, thanks for being a good mom. Happy Father's Day to me. So he can say, ah, I screwed up. I said, thanks for being a good mom. I meant good dad.
And then she gets upset.
But it could be he was just laying that trap like, thanks for being a good mom. Like, that's for you, mom, if you're reading
this. This is next level psychos.
And when she,
psychological warfare.
And he won.
Yeah, because when you have to calm mom down, he's like, look, mom, I was right.
I'm going to guess it was Mason.
Why are you so mad?
Yeah. I'm going to guess it was Mason.
No comment.
Why? The person who was most offended already knows who wrote it. Why does it matter?
Yeah.
I don't want to put Mason out there like that.
Okay.
Told you it was Mason. I knew it was Mason. Psychological warfare. I think he's going to be.
He's the king of psychological warfare in the household. He'll pull it on me sometimes. Hey, you know what I was wondering? Like, and not, it doesn't bother me, but I know you always tell us not to, like, we're not supposed to eat ice cream out of directly out of the tub, but then I'll notice it looks like finger marks are in there. Like, who would have done that? I don't know if it's you. I'm just saying, who would have done that? He knows exactly what he's saying. And this is when I hit him with, do you pay rent? I mean,
finger
you
marks?
Lease? Yeah, if
you
I just put scrape,
finger
you
marks
scrape
in
some ice cream.
There's a spoon.
I don't have to. I'm a dad. I can do anything I want.
That's disgusting.
No, you don't. You don't put your fingers in a tub of ice cream.
Yeah, it's in the freezer.
What?
It kills off the germs. That's, doesn't matter.
No, it doesn't.
Awful.
Yeah.
There's
different dad rules in this game.
Who would want to live with you if you're using a finger in a tub of ice cream?
If you
want to
live with me, get
out.
If you want to live with me, get out.
I would. Don't worry about it.
Don't trust me. It's 901 ESPN 97.5. I want to live in a world where I have an expedition. Oh, I already live in that world. You know why? Because of Chastang Ford. That's right. That's the world I live in. The Explorer Sport, awesome. All of the F-150s. Listen, go shop online. I'm going right now to ChastangFord.com. ChastangFord.com, and you're going to see a great dealership where you can actually, I can buy it online. Other dealerships, not going to let you. You can customize your payments. You can get your value of your trade-in right there. You can get pre-approved, and you can schedule a test drive. They will deliver the car to you. If you have not seen the beautiful Fords right now, I'm telling you, my buddy just got a pickup that is gorgeous, gorgeous. And you can too, peeps. All you got to do is get to ChastangFord.com, or you can go to the dealership. They are sanitizing. They're doing everything possible to keep everything as safe as possible. But if you don't feel comfortable, that's fine. All you got to do is go online, and you can buy at ChastangFord.com. As soon as I clicked on, Valerie came up and said, welcome back. I'm online if you have any questions. And so Valerie will answer your questions right there. If you're looking for the best way to shop for your Ford car, truck, a dealership that does more commercial Fords than any other dealership in the city, that means that businesses trust them. You will trust them, too. You'll love doing business at Chastang Ford. ChastangFord.com. It's on 610 at Homestead, not Hempstead, just two exits east of 59, 5 minutes from downtown. ChastangFord.com. They've got unbelievable deals going on right now at Chastang Ford.
ESPN 97.5.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick's Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on two purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit Dick's.com/scorecardplus for details.